Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD. With me, as always, the one and only Mouse.
What's going on? We're back in business.
We sure are. We also have our, I guess our guest host. He's kind of been hanging around a while. Introduce yourself, guest host.
It's Joshy Spees.
Joshy Spees.
I feel like we're good luck for him. Like he can't stop doing it while this run's going.
Yeah, I need to do this week, and I could take a week off before the Super Bowl if we win, and then I'll have to be on Super Bowl week.
What if we're jerks and we just don't let you?
I was gonna say I'll just click the link in group, but you could kick me out. So yeah, I got nothing.
Oh man,
I wouldn't do that to you, man. But before we get to football and why Joshy Spees is been running around shirtless down the street, we're gonna cover a few things. We'll get to that. Before we get into sports, and I know we always jump in with the Spurs, but before we do that, there was a poll. Well, there wasn't a poll. There was a tweet from Bill Miller Barbecue.
Oh, I saw that.
You saw that? Okay. They were reminding all of us that it's Bill Miller, not Bill Millers. So my question to you guys is, what do you call it?
Ooh. Honestly, I say Bills.
That's a good one. Bills. Okay.
Okay. Man, I find myself definitely saying Bill Miller. I'm not the Millers with an S, but if you go into my family, like my immediate family house, how we grew up, I mean, it's definitely the way they say it.
But there's more than one, so that's why I pluralize it. If I'm going to say Bill Millers, like, I don't say it because I think there's an apostrophe S, but there's multiple Bill Miller locations, so
are you visiting more than one? Like when you say I'm going to Bill Miller's?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, I try to get some, like three or right. four Bill's meals in a day.
Catch them before they close and get like a whole pie for a dollar.
Isn't that the best?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is the best. So,
what about you, JD?
I think I say Bill's. Now I'm real. I can't think of what I say, but I think it's Bill's. I think I say
Bills.
It's
Bills. I mean, I think everybody knows what you're talking about if you say Bills.
I can confidently say I've never said Bills.
Really? One of
Bills. Yeah.
You're so proper.
No, I'm just, I don't know. It's just never been something I said.
Yeah, but you moved away from San Antonio for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man.
He's right. I can't deny that.
That's true. You took it in stride.
I have no idea what that has to do with it, but
he's taking shots. It's week three, and he's taking shots at me.
I know. He's like, well, you're not
first.
Really
he kicks my team out of the playoffs, and then I was taking shots.
It's almost like he's taking away your San Antonio card.
I know.
I would never. Not Mouse.
I mean, you kind of just insinuated it.
I was trying to give him a pass for not using Bills. Like, well, it's okay because you moved away for a little bit.
When did that get cool? Like, mid-2000s or not cool,
nothing,
but like, did people start saying that? Because I feel like I've never heard it.
No, nothing I do is in the interest of or because it's cool. So it's it's just a short, I think it's, if I say Bills, it's implied by Miller's. Like, it just saves me two syllables, I guess.
Yeah. Breath, some breath, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I like, so the reaction to everybody's, to that tweet was everybody's like, nah, we're going to keep calling it Bill Miller's.
Yeah, that's definitely the majority of people say Bill Miller's for sure. And it doesn't sound as funny. Like if you said Sonics, you know what I mean? Like that's
exactly. It doesn't sound as, or
yeah, it's not as wrong as some of the other adding an S things.
A good point, Mouse. That's probably when nobody feels dumb saying it.
Yeah. Maybe we just got used to hearing it.
Now I'll probably lose my San Antonio and or Texas card. I can't stand when I hear Whataburger. It's Whataburger. And Whataburger. I see it all over social media. Like, it's Whataburger. No, it's Whataburger.
I can't tell the difference even when you're saying the difference. Like,
Water.
Really, Yeah, if somebody pronounces it like that. But do you really notice when someone says Whataburger?
It's because people jokingly take pride in saying Whataburger, like Whataburger. Like, it's become a thing where, like, no, we say Whataburger. And I'm like, no, we don't.
Okay. I like how you draw the line randomly. Bills yeah. is all right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then but not Whataburger.
Not Whataburger.
Whataburger drives you over. Whataburger. Like, that's where you're going to take a hard stance.
Yeah,
that's
you have to good. Have a hill to die on at some point. Yeah. And this is mine.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. So before this gets too far off the rails, the Spurs keep losing close games.
Oh, man. They're doing so good, and then fourth quarter comes down, and they just kind of fall apart.
It really feels. I know we're not using the word tank, and I know Pop's not tanking on purpose, but it organically is becoming the perfect tank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're competitive. They're super competitive. They have a potential all-star on the team. They're running with the big boys, and then at the end, they just lose. It's mind-boggling yes, how. It's mind-boggling how good. If you're team tank, it's going as good as you could possibly imagine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the way you want it to. You don't want to purposely go out there and lose your competitive spirit, but.
And you don't want to suck. Like, you don't want to just get blown out of the building every night.
Yeah.
That's. Again, they're not doing it on purpose, but it's the most organic, best case scenario tank ever. It's hilarious.
Do you like watching them still? Yeah, right. I got them on tonight. They're a favorite against the Rockets, so they should be able to pull this off anyway.
Well, they're up 10, right?
15 now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so they're playing well. But I got an issue.
Okay.
Last week we came on here telling me I got everything I want. We're getting rid of Forbes. Why is Primo still in Austin?
That's a good issue to have. That was next on my list on the rundown. I will take issue. I know I was good with the trade. I'm still good with the trade, but I'm only good with it if Primo's getting minutes. So you're right. I don't know why he's still in Austin.
Have you heard anything? I mean, is he they're looking to bring him back soon or anything? Spurs Twitter saying anything?
They're very random with, like, we'll just see a tweet one day that Primo's on I-35. You know what I mean? Like,
he's shopping at the outlets. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, he's getting called up. Yeah. He's getting the 2016 version of the polos.
They're just a little loose. Quick. They don't fit as tight. They're like kind of loose.
They fit old school, like the way Tim Duncan used to like them. No, man, I don't know. They haven't set a timetable, but they usually won't. We'll just see a tweet from
random.
Like Jeff Garcia. Primo's been called back up to the Spurs. Speaking of call-ups, Zach Collins is going up and down 35.
Yep.
He had some warm-up games with Austin, did great. They called him to San Antonio, and then they sent him back to Austin. I'm thinking he's not in enough shape yet. So, trying to predict when Primo will come to San Antonio for good is a crapshoot.
Yeah, and I think you're right about Collins. And I think Sean Elliott said it, maybe one of the recent games, that it would take him, even he was in good shape coming into the season, it'd take him about 30 days to get his, like, true NBA legs under him, like his game-ready legs under him. And so, we can't expect these guys to come back and just fill the hole right away, get a bunch of playing time.
And I guess it's part of having a G League is what's good about it. I don't know how close everybody's G League teams are to them, but for the Spurs, they sure do utilize having their team down the street. Yeah. They go back. And, I mean, I know what most teams do, especially during COVID, but, man, the Spurs have been burning up the road. A lot of stops at Bucky's.
Yeah.
Josh, going back to you, do you enjoy watching the Spurs this year?
When I get a chance, I don't have. Is it Bally's? Is that what it's?
Yes.
That's right.
I have to wait for like games on Channel 5 or nationally televised, which there aren't a lot of. So most of mine is online catch up.
They do have, usually on the weekends they'll play on Ken's 5 or CW. But yeah, I guess.
But I mean, they're fun to play or fun to watch.
I agree. I was just wondering because we're talking, you know, the fact that they're losing a lot, but they are very competitive. It's fun seeing the youth grow. And I guess once you
expectation,
realize
I would say expectation guides my disappointment. So if I'm not expecting to do anything this year, I'm just going to have fun watching the team and rooting for the guys that are here. And that's pretty much it.
All right. Just seeing some growth.
Yep.
Hopefully they beat the Rockets. It's always fun to win that game.
Did y'all like that tribute, LaMarcus Patty Mills tribute they played?
I did. I loved it. I also liked the fact that the Coyotes set up a coffee shop as they walked in.
Oh.
And he was wearing Patty Mills' old coffee shirt that we used to sell here.
That's cool.
I know he actually gave Patty Mills a coffee to go. And Aldridge, I think, sat with the Coyote and had coffee.
Oh, that's neat, man.
And then, of course, the tribute video was awesome. I was glad the Spurs are always first class. Patty and LaMarcus did a lot for the Spurs. They did a lot for the community. I know there's a lot of city courts here in San Antonio that now have the Spurs logo, and they've been redone, and LaMarcus Aldridge was a big part of that.
It was
including Miller's Pond is like that now. It's real nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. Got the big LaMarcus logo, too. I mean, he went out there and put the new court in. So much respect to them. And Aldridge is the last All-Star we've had. I know he doesn't get a ton of credit, but I'm glad they included him. And I think he's someone that the Spurs should embrace and make a part of their history.
Did they do the court at the Heritage Duck Pond?
I don't think so. So we're gonna need.
That's the infamous site where Josh broke my arm.
That was a little bit of the reason I threw that out there. See? To see if you would.
Man, he just takes keeping.
I know. Shots. He's reminding me like if I keep talking back, you're gonna take me back to the pond and break my arm again.
I don't want to go too off subject. Do you remember the day you broke your arm?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like everything that happened. Like
yeah.
I don't know how it turned into I broke your arm, but I was convinced. I was like, your arm's not broken. Calm down. That's what I remember was trying to convince you that your arm was not broken.
Yeah, telling me I'm fine and I'm just busted up. I had to use a random lady's phone.
Next day you have a cast on. I'm like, yeah. I guess I'm not the doctor I thought I was.
Football season's over. It's a wrap.
Man, did you sign this cast at least, Josh?
Probably not.
I don't know. I might have, Who knows?
So, Mouse, do you prefer... So, like, last week, me and you argued a lot.
Yeah.
I'm very open about it, arguing with you.
Yeah.
Do you prefer that, or do you prefer Josh sneaking in subtle shots?
No. I don't – I'd like to see it coming, so okay. I like the way you and I kind of have some dialogue. But Josh taking shots just kind of hits me, like, unexpected.
I think what I'm doing is being misconstrued as shots. I was trying to give you an out earlier for the Bills thing, and this was just a fun story about your arm breaking.
Yeah. There's always an excuse.
Yeah,
If I'm going to take shots, I'm going to come with an excuse right after it.
Yep, very subtle.
Hey, did y'all see the story of that Patty Mills or how he told Pop he was leaving the Spurs?
He sent him a text, right?
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by that. Like, it felt funny. Yeah.
I could see that, too. You're right. It should have been at least a phone call.
Yeah, like I get him saying he wanted to tell him right away and, you know, he didn't want it to get out to him. But I was just a little bit shocked that he didn't just call Pop.
I'm a little shocked and not disappointed, just a little shocked that – and maybe I'm just naive to how things are done. I'm surprised Patty pulled that trigger without talking to Pop.
Yeah, that's true.
In general. Like, hey – do you want me here to guide these guys? Do you want me off the roster? Should I go to a contender? It was more of a okay, I'm going to go with the Nets, and I better text him real quick to let him know.
Yeah.
That's nothing against Patty, but that is surprising. But it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. So I didn't see that part. So there could have been conversations before where Pop knew he was looking to sign, and like he had already given him his blessing, and when he actually signed, it was just a text message, right? Or
yeah, that could have happened.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
I thought it would have happened over a glass of wine. Pop's like, or Patty's like, you know what? You told me to go find a contender. I'm going to Brooklyn. But nope. Quick text.
Huh.
Quite the millennial breakup.
Probably shocked, or I guess he said he was shocked. It was like 4 a.m. and he immediately got a text back. It's like sending a work email after 5. Like you're afraid to send. And then they just immediately respond. You're like, shit.
That is weird. That's weird. But back to the current Spurs. We will find out on February 3rd if DeJounte Murray made the All-Stars. They're announcing the starters this week, which we know Murray's not a starter. But we'll know again February 3rd, and they do it like on TNT. They do a whole show about it. Voting is over, so I think it's up to the coaches now if DeJounte's going to get a nod. I don't know what else he has to do to get a nod. I mean, the dude puts up. If it's not a triple double every night, it's damn close to it. Give that man the All-Stars. Now, I'm saying All-Stars. Is that like Bill Miller's? Should I just say All-Stars?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I caught myself.
Make that man an All-Star.
Make him an All-Stars.
Yeah. Now, do we think Devin Vassell makes that rookie challenge? Because it's like rookies against the sophomores.
You know what? I saw something today that they were going to do like 7 3-man teams or something like that. Did you read that?
I just saw there was a change coming, but I didn't see what the details were.
Right? Yeah.
You're right. As I looked that up, do you think Devin Vassell has earned a spot?
Think.
It's 4 7-player teams competing in a 3-game tournament, with each contest having a final target score.
How are the teams made up?
Yeah.
It'll include 28 players. The pool will consist of 12 rookies and 12 sophomores. And 4 players from the G League Ignite. I wonder why just the G League Ignite team. Huh. So he'd have to be one of the 12 top sophomores to make this little tournament thing. I hope he does. It'd be nice to have something to watch for All-Star Saturday night.
Do we have a challenge? Oh, that's nice.
Where 8 NBA and G League Ignite players are divided into 4 teams of 2 tasked with making 5 baskets from locations of iconic NBA playoff shots. So just to get out of the way, we're all going to be pissed because they're going to have a Ray Allen spot. I guarantee you. If they do Ray Allen and Fisher's Point 04.
Oh, come on.
That's what I thought you were going to say was Derek Fisher's. And then when you said Ray Allen, I just got crushed because I was like, they can have 2.
If we get 2 on us, I'll be pissed.
Does it make it okay if they do a Memorial Day miracle shot?
See, now we're talking, but I don't think that shot means as much to the league as it does to us. Yeah,
so that the Kawhi corner shot with the Raptors, that's kind of the same spot that Ray Allen was, right? Can we just call it the Kawhi shot instead of the Ray Allen shot? I don't like Kawhi, but I
even that
not,
sucks. But yes,
it's not against us.
I like that better. Okay. Just good thinking.
Yeah.
Besides those, what about Robert Horry, top of the key?
Can we get? There's got to be a top of the key shot. It's just
give me a Robert Horry one. Call it Robert Horry.
Okay.
Thank you. What else? You got to do the Magic Johnson hook shot. It's like from the free throw line against the Celtics.
So it's not just a spot. You're saying you want to make him shoot the ball.
Is it like that horse? Way.
Well,
no, I would think it's a timed thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of iconic shots. Jordan going sideways against the Cavs, or maybe Jordan pushing
against
Russell.
Utah. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
Or closing his eyes at the free throw line. That's not a playoff shot.
Now I'm curious. I hope I'm not NBA. I'll let you have one of those shots. Don't do me like that twice. Ray Allen. I would like to see the teams try to do the .04 because it's physically impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't have a clock, but if they did.
It would just be a turn and shoot spot. Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
I would be clocking with my phone, though, just to prove.
Yep. Oh, you'll see so many screenshots of people doing that. Remember, we thought of it first. Trendsetters, baby. All right, well, as long as there's some Spurs participating in something in the All-Star weekend, it sounds like it'd be fun. We'll see. We'll see how let's get Devin Vassell in that Rising Stars format. Let's get Murray in the All-Star game. Do we have a dunker? Lonnie Walker, but he's nowhere near at the point to be invited to even the dunk contest, I don't think.
Yeah.
Also, there's been times where I haven't known anybody in the dunk contest, but
that's true. If he says yes, I mean they might do it. That'd be cool. I don't know if we ever had we've never had anyone in the dunk contest.
Like after the dunk contest they came to the Spurs.
Did Brent Berry?
That's about the only one I can think of, yeah.
Tracy McGrady, was he ever? I feel like he might have been in it.
I think he was in that Vince Carter year.
Yeah.
Here's another one you probably don't remember. Dominique.
Dominique.
Okay, so we've had a lot of former teams.
After the fact,
though. Yeah.
Nobody's worn a Spurs jersey to dunk.
Yeah.
Unless the only way it was before my time, maybe George Gervin in the ABA. But I'd have to research that. All right. So we got the All-Star game. Well, I guess we'll know. No, we won't know next week either. But as soon as it comes out, we'll discuss it. And as soon as they announce which shots they're doing, we'll react to it. Any shots come to your mind that I didn't say before we move on?
I don't think so.
Yeah, the Spurs ones would be the one that I would think of. I would assume there's some Curry shot from half court or something crazy in there.
Yeah, sure.
It's
got to
be iconic, so if you can't think of it, then...
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking
have a little
playoff shots. But, yeah, iconic shots, I don't know.
Maybe a little Avery Johnson from the baseline against the Knicks shot.
I doubt it, but that'd be good.
That would be in mine.
We just want a bunch of Spurs shots. Let's get a Tim Bank.
The three from Tim.
The Suns. I was at that game.
That's right, you were.
Oh, man.
All right, well, moving on. We'll, speaking of Josh being blessed. Josh, I'm going to let you kick off the playoff talk. It's your segment, buddy.
I would love to just talk about the 49ers, but this is probably the best divisional weekend of football I've ever seen. That seems to be a common theme on Twitter. Saturday, both games ended with the road team kicking a field goal at the last second to win. One of those teams being my San Francisco 49ers, knocking off the Packers after we didn't score one offensive touchdown all game. We just had a block punt return for a touchdown and two field goals, and that was enough to knock off Aaron Rodgers. I think we made a lot of Twitter happy with that.
The Twitter jokes about Aaron Rodgers after that game kept me up late.
The memes and jokes were good. All four games were amazing. We had another game that makes us want to revisit the overtime rule, but for my part, the 49ers are still in it. We got to play the Rams again. We beat them 3 weeks ago. We beat them six times in a row. So we are either in a scenario where we own them or they're due for a win. I don't know. So I'm just kind of nervous.
Now, so your special teams came up big in this game. Have you guys had good special teams all year?
No, we haven't really had great special teams. It hasn't been terrible, but it hasn't been great. But defense and special teams won this game. Really, no team did anything on offense. The Packers opened up the game with a scoring drive, and that was it. They had a field goal somewhere in there, but they really didn't put anything after that drive together. The field was snowy, which turned into just kind of wet, and after that, there wasn't really much of anything happening. Hopefully the offense steps up. I think it was 24-20 maybe when we played the Rams 3 weeks ago. I don't know, something like that.
27-24.
Okay, there you go. I just remember we won in overtime. That's right. It was 24-24 going in overtime. We kicked a field goal, and then we stopped them. So,
all right.
Yeah, hopefully that pulls through again. But on the other side, I really don't want to – if we get past the Rams, I don't want to face the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl, so I'm really pulling for Cincy. But both of them, I think, are matchup problems for our defense's weakness. They both can throw deep.
If it's the Niners against the Bengals in the Super Bowl, we'll need a whole 80s theme Super Bowl week.
Yeah, hopefully it ends the same way as the last time we played them in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, there's no Joe
Spoiler,
Montana,
but... we won. Jimmy G, Joe Montana.
Oh, wow.
So we got that. What are your you talked about the overtime rule. The Bills-Chiefs game was amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the best games I've seen in a while.
Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were just dealing.
Josh thought he won that game two times, right?
Yeah.
He had to have, yeah. What are your – so, first of all, that was a great game. I think we can all agree. What are your thoughts on the overtime rule?
I don't like it, and I'm not a bitter fan of any team. Every time this happens, I don't like it. I don't like the argument. And the only argument is, well, it's an offense and defense. You have to stop them. That's not. You had a game where there was 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes, and you're asking the defense to go out there and stop it. Like, that's a game where you need the other team to get a ball. Now, what the fix is, whether you just go to college or you let them play an 8-minute quarter, make them go for two, I don't care. But both teams need the ball in their hands. It's just not fair.
I agree. Because you're right. The only argument was, well, the Bills should have stopped them. The Chiefs were not going to stop the Bills either. So it really came down to the coin toss.
Yeah, it legit was a coin toss. That won the game. And it happened to the Chiefs 2 or 3 years ago against the Pats.
It did.
I don't like it then. I don't like it now. I don't care who's benefiting from it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
What about you, Mouse?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't know how you can argue for the OT. The OT rules that we currently have, other than it's just the way it's always been, right? That's what I think people say. I mean, sure, they should have stopped them, but like you said, if it was the other way around, Kansas City would not have stopped them. So I think it needs to be changed. I think it needs to give both teams the opportunity to score and take it from there. I mean, I think college rules are perfect. I would do it just like that, unless you wanted to kick off and add that idea.
Special teams, right?
Yeah, add special teams to it. You could do that, but the idea of both getting the ball after a couple of series and then making them go for two, I think that's the way to do it.
I like the idea. You do college, but like to your point, you kick off because now you're using all three phases of the game.
Yeah.
So for those that are arguing, well, you still got to play defense. All right, let's play all three phases and let's give both teams a chance to play all three phases. I would do that, or I would do a timed quarter. It is weird. And it's weird because the rule is, if you hold them to a field goal, you get a chance. If it's a touchdown, you don't get like this.
That's so random. Like, you're acknowledging the other team should get a chance by saying if you hold them to a field goal. So just let them get the chance. Like, you want to acknowledge it without acknowledging it. And if I'm the NFL, I want that game to keep going. Like, that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't want that game to end. What are you worried about? If it's a regular season game, it'll end in a tie anyways, which we have every now and again, so who cares? If it's a playoffs, you're going to play till it ends.
Like, yeah, there's no sports fan that was like, I just want this game to end already. Hopefully.
Yeah.
You want to see Mahomes and Josh Allen. I wish they were still playing right now.
And I find it hard to believe that there are sports fans who say, man, that game was great, but I'm glad it ended on that touchdown and the other team didn't get a chance. Like, what? Even if you defend the rule, you can't say that. Like, oh, good. Good job.
Yeah. Do you think – I guess we could do predictions. Who do you got for the two teams? Two games, I'm sorry.
I'll pick 49ers and Chiefs again. The Rams, I think all three teams left, I kind of have a fear of, because they all have weapons on the outside. But I'll go with history, say we beat the Rams, and I would love to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase get past the Chiefs, but I don't see it happening, especially if he gets sacked again 9 times.
That's a good point. Mouse?
Man, I'm going to go Chiefs from the AFC, and I hate to do it to Josh, but...
But no, don't then.
I got to do the Rams. I think even though the 49ers the past 2 weeks have been the less talented team, they've come out and win. I think the Rams have a ton of talent, and I think they put it together, and they finally get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl. And I think something, I don't know if Josh, you said it on here, or you've Texas, but the Rams are bound to beat the 49ers. You know, they've won 6 times in a row, so it's bound to happen. So I got to go Rams, Chiefs.
Because I'm your friend, I won't hold it against you, and I know.
You know, until you brought up me breaking my arm, I was going to go 49ers, but
I don't think you were. I don't think you were.
All right. JD?
I'm going to go Bengals. I think they have more weapons, and it'll be enough.
That'd be cool.
I think Chase is better than Tyreek Hill. I think the other receivers on the Bengals are better than the other receivers on the Chiefs. Joe Mixon's better
than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yes. I couldn't even think of his name, and he was on my fantasy team. And I think Joe Burrow, I mean, I've seen this guy play ball.
I'm a big fan of his.
He's a winner. Like, you mentioned Joe Montana earlier. This dude reminds you of Joe Montana. The dude's a winner. He's got swag.
I was going to bring that up. They've started referring to him as Joe Cool on Twitter. And a lot of the 49ers Twitter is like, no, they're... Honestly, if somebody's going to take over that name, I don't mind it being him. He really seems to play with that level of, I can do this. I got this. Like, he really does embody that sort of confidence. I'm okay with him picking up the mantle of a nickname.
And then I'm going to go – I'm so back. On one hand, I hate the idea that the Niners have to beat them a third time in one season. Like, that's just tough to do.
I want to jump in. That's statistically not true. And I meant to screenshot this stat that teams that have won the 2 games in the regular season, I want to say 67% of the time, win the third time in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, you just slayed me.
I don't know if I screenshotted that, because I've heard that before. And I was like, I saw the stat and I was like, I need to remember that.
All right. I'm going Bengals and Niners.
Wow.
For the throwback 80s Super Bowl.
I actually did screenshot it. In NFL history, there have been 21 meetings between teams that played 3 times in one season. The team that went 2-0 in the regular season won the third game 14 of the 21 times, which is 66%.
There you go.
Well, then, math is on your side.
I sure hope so. I'm nervous, man.
Yeah, you should be. It's a tough game.
Are you going to do anything special? Wear a special shirt? Don't wear a shirt? Anything what Sunday look like for you, Josh?
Well, the Cowboys game, I was at John's house. The Packers game, I was laying on my couch. Both of them were incredibly nerve-wracking games, so I don't know that either of those things worked. But we pulled out the W. I got to figure out what to do that we just have a blowout. So maybe I'll take my shirt off. And if we win by 20, then if I have a Super Bowl party, y'all are going to see me shirtless.
Hey, don't threaten me with a good time.
No, I'll be there.
All right, from Josh's euphoria to mine and Mouse's anger. Mouse, let's talk Cowboys coaching situation.
Yeah.
So here's how it stands as we record this. Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn are still making the rounds with interviews. Mike Fisher did tweet out that he doesn't think Kellen Moore will get a job this year. Jerry Jones went on a radio rampage talking like he's really upset and he would not give McCarthy a vote of confidence. And on top of all this, today Sean Payton resigned from the Saints. For those that, I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but every year, every offseason, Sean Payton is linked to the Cowboys job because he has a house in Dallas. I think he's friendly with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, good friends with the Joneses.
And he used to be an assistant here. So with all that said, Mouse, I just want to give you an open mic.
a couple of things. Going back to Kellen and his job interviews that, you know, he's on, seems like a second year in a row, and he's not getting the job. Does that make you feel different about him? Because I know you're a Kellen proponent. Like, you typically are a fan of his.
No, I mean, we've seen this happen a lot. Eric Bieniemy? He's had that. This is the third year in a row he's going to be in this situation. So,
but I think we talked about he has, you know, criminal history, rape allegations, you know, some bad sexual stuff on his rap sheet that makes it a little bit different.
No, it doesn't make me feel any different about Kellen Moore. I mean, the teams that are hiring.
Cause there's nine coaching openings this year. That's like a third of the league. And he's not one of the best third.
Mike Fisher doesn't think so.
But yeah. Vegas, I think Vegas came in and said, when I looked at it like 2 weeks ago, that he had like the lowest percentage of getting a head coaching job among the ones that were being interviewed.
Yeah, and that makes sense the way the season ended. It doesn't make me feel any different. I think this whole year of coaching, the coaching carousel, I don't think any team is sold on anybody. Nobody's pulled the trigger yet on, you know, they haven't targeted someone like, okay, that's who we want 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Dan Quinn's taking a second interview in Minnesota this week. I think all
these teams, finalists in Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. I think all these teams are just in limbo of who they want. There's no clear cut favorite. There's no clear cut the guy everybody wants. And maybe there's some cat and mouse with all these coaches' agents. You know what I mean? Trying to play the other teams against each other for money. It's a weird situation. It really is. And that's why if Jerry's not sure of Mike McCarthy, then just pull the trigger now. Because what are you going to do next year? Especially if Sean Payton's just sitting at home or he's, you know, he's doing commentary for CBS or something like that. The entire fan base, every screw up McCarthy has, and let's be honest, about every game he's got at least one clock management screw up or going for two when he shouldn't, things like that. The chance for Sean Payton will get louder, even if they're winning. I mean, let's be honest, the Cowboys are probably going to win a division again next year. That's not going to silence the critics. And if Sean Payton's sitting out there somewhere, it's just going to be a year of misery for him. You know what I mean? So even if it's not Sean Payton, just pull the trigger now. If you're not sure of him, why waste another season?
And would you want them to promote Kellen or what's your goal there? Who do you want?
Here's what I wanted to talk about. Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn are commodities, right? They're both getting interviews. As we speak.
Not on the same level, but they're both getting interviews, yeah.
As we speak, they're both employed by Dallas. Nobody has better intel about those two coaching candidates than the Jones family, the Jones front office, the Cowboys front office. They should be doing their own intel. Hopefully they've already done this, because even if you want to keep McCarthy, you got to be sure that you're okay letting those two coaches, one of their two coaches, go. I would pull Dan Quinn aside. Hey, if you were given the keys to the kingdom, what would you do differently? What would you do with the defense? Who would be your coordinator? Who would you want as an offensive coordinator? And tell me why. What are your thoughts? Same with Kellen Moore. Hey, are there things that you were held back on with the offense? Are there things you do differently with the offense? Would you want to keep Dan Quinn? Would you, if he left, who'd be your DC of choice? You got to at least kick the tires since they're both in-house. I hope Jerry's doing his due diligence, at least in that sense. And it could be behind the scenes. You know, that's the beauty of having his coaches under your roof. You don't have to officially interview them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, hey, we're both in the Star. Come to my office real quick. and just pick their brain. You know who they are behind the scenes, but you should at least ask them, hey, if you were given the keys to the kingdom, what would you do? You should be self-scouting. And
what are you looking to get out of that? Like,
let's say Dan Quinn says, here's who I would want as offensive coordinator. Here's why we didn't succeed. Here's what I would tweak. Then possibly hire Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore. You know what I mean? If you like their ideas, then you could pull the trigger. But at the very least, you're self-scouting. You know how when you leave a company and they do an exit interview and they ask you what went well here, what went wrong here, why are you leaving? You should at least do that with these candidates. It doesn't have to be a real interview. You don't, that again, so it doesn't hit the news. And that way, if you want to keep McCarthy, it's no big deal. It's just a private conversation. It's a self-scout that could turn into a change in direction, a change in coaching, at the very least. And I say that because you have two candidates under your own roof. That's why.
And I would assume they've had conversations. I would assume, Jerry,
they've had
conversations with both of the guys.
Because if Dan Quinn is one of the leaders to get a head coaching job, you might want to kick the tires on that before he's out the door. You know what I mean?
How do we feel about that? I mean, I guess you look at what he did in Atlanta, right? I mean, sure, he went to the Super Bowl, right? But he wasn't very good as a head coach. And is he somebody like, our head coach, Wade Phillips? Is he like a Wade Phillips who is a horrible head coach but a great defensive coordinator? Like, is he like that? Are we confident he's not like that?
Oh, I don't know. But again, he's a hotter commodity, and there's a reason. There's got to be a reason. I will say this: he was a long-term head coach. It's not like he was a dud, you know, like a Josh McDaniels or something. He did change his philosophy on defense.
Yeah.
He had, you know, Mike McCarthy tricked us into thinking, you know, he told the world, oh, I've been studying film. I've been doing analytics. I've changed my train of thought. I'm up to speed on the new offenses. And then he gets here and he just says, I don't want to call plays. Give it all to Kellen.
Dan, well, we don't know if that was his call or Jerry's call, right? Like, if it was up to him.
If Jerry's making the head coach, if Jerry's deciding who calls plays, then it doesn't matter who our head coach. Then this whole thing needs to be burned down. If Jerry told him, you can get the job, but you can't call plays, then we're screwed.
You don't think GMs have those conversations and say, hey, you're going to be the head coach, but our OC is still going to call the plays?
No.
I think I would assume that's probably a conversation that happens.
I would not assume that at all. That'd be a horrible way to do business.
Hmm.
You really think a GM would tell an offensive-minded coach, hey, you can have the job, but...
Maybe not phrase it like that. Like, he's without question, he's definitely calling plays. You're not coming here unless he's calling plays. But they could lean him that way.
If your GM is making those kind of decisions, then you're screwed as an organization. I've never heard a GM say, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're not going to do. Now, if we're
You don't think a GM defines roles?
Not that specific. If you're cutting the head coach...
I'm just kind of thinking out loud here.
Josh,
right?
What do you think, Josh?
I when this started, I thought I was going to be on Mouse's side, but no, I think if I'm a GM, I want a coach to run the team the way that coach wants. Who does he want calling plays? Who does he want as his coordinator? Like, I want the coach making those decisions. I don't want him to be hounded by me telling him what he's got to do.
Okay. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm just kind of thinking through this out loud.
If that was their thought process, then why hire McCarthy? Because he sold himself as, oh, I've been studying analytics. I've just been in a basement locked up watching
film. Yeah.
That's why you hired him. You hired him to be the offensive genius. That's how he sold himself. But back to Dan Quinn, Dan Quinn actually made adjustments. Dan Quinn believes in positionless football, meaning Micah Parsons lines up all over the field, meaning
But that, I think that's why you got to give you got to give Mike the opportunity to call the plays and call the shots on the offense.
But he has the opportunity. He didn't do it.
He's not. He doesn't have the opportunity. He's not the OC and he's not the play caller. So he does not have the option to do that.
But what I'm saying is, if he didn't even believe in himself the last 2 years to do it, I don't see why.
Why now? Like, he could have been calling the plays.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just taking a look at – oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I want to hear your perspective.
I was kind of going to go a little just about the head coaching search in general. Like, look at the teams who are left. Even the teams who just got eliminated. Do you want to go a defensive head coach in this league now? I mean, all four teams left are offensive-minded coaches. Most of the teams that just got eliminated were offensive-minded coaches. I think it's just a league that's moving that way right now. Do you – defenses – go ahead.
And you preach to the choir, but that's why I would ask Dan Quinn, who would you want as an OC and why?
And my point to that is I love Dan Quinn. I'm a Dan Quinn guy. I don't want this conversation to think I'm not. But what I'm getting at is Kellen's lack of head coaching jobs, right? And Josh just mentioned how young and offensive minded the NFL is going. He's supposed to be that guy. He's supposed to be the wonder boy. And yet he can't get a head coaching job anywhere. That's just more of a finger for me to point at Kellen. What is he not doing? What are the other teams not seeing?
To be fair, when I say young offensive people, I'm talking about Shanahan, LaFleur.
Yeah.
But they've been around.
Kellen's supposed to be that guy.
They were in Cleveland. They were in Atlanta. Kellen hasn't been around that long. Like, yes, he's young and he's an offensive guy. He hasn't put in as much time as the rest of these guys. So maybe give him another 3 or 4 years and he is that guy. But he's only been an offensive coordinator for 3 years or something. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's only been a coach period for like 3 years.
Other guys worked their way up through several organizations.
And that might be it. They might tell Kellen, you need to update. You know, you need to get more branches on your resume. You need to go to another team.
So does he leave the Cowboys to be an OC somewhere else? He's not taking OC.
If that's the feedback he gets. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Becky, where Becky Hammon was told, you know, you don't have the experience and you've only been with the Spurs, which is a bunch of BS. But she saw the writing on the wall, so then she swerved. You know, she pivoted her career. So Kellen would have to get that feedback. But again, we don't know until these jobs start filling up. I don't want to guarantee he's not going to get a job. Because in a week we might sound silly if he's the new Jaguars coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but if there's a bunch of hires and he doesn't land any of them, and we're seeing some pretty horrible names,
bums.
Yeah, then we'll really dive deep into that conversation. But as far as the Cowboys, I would kick the tires because Dan Quinn made the Super Bowl when he had Kyle Shanahan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If Dan Quinn walked into Jerry's office and said, if I was a head coach, my defense would stay the same. Obviously, you know, it's maturing, it's growing. And I would want Mike McDaniel from the Niners as my OC. And if you're probably thinking, why would he leave the Niners for the Cowboys? Dan Quinn would have to say, I'm going to allow him the opportunity to call plays. I've been to a Super Bowl with that offense. He's already there. He doesn't call plays, though. Going back to what I said about Kellen Moore, this would be an opportunity for Mike McDaniel to add to his resume as a play caller.
I was going to mention that exact scenario earlier, but I got hung up on why would Mike McDaniel leave. But, yeah, to call plays, maybe that's the next step in his belt.
Because even if you're not the Cowboys, if you're interviewing Dan Quinn, you should be asking him those questions anyway. Like Denver should be asking them, what are you going to do about your offense? Who's your OC of choice? Same with Minnesota. So to my point, Jerry can have unofficial interviews with two guys that are getting a ton of interviews. You know what I mean? And he's got the intel. They can dive deeper. You know, Kellen's going to go on an interview and he's going to sugarcoat, or he's going to say things that might, you know, like everybody does in a job interview. Jerry knows everything. They can go deep in the weeds. Hey, Kellen, why did you stop running jet sweeps with Tony Pollard? Why did we stop doing two-back system? What would you do about the defense, even if Dan Quinn leaves? Things like that. That would be my first step. Because then you don't have to, again, I'm not going to repeat myself, but that's my first step. As far as Sean Payton goes, depending on the price tag, and I mean more draft picks, what are you, Mouse, willing to give up for a Sean Payton? If anything, you might not even like him. What?
Yeah, no, so I've been one of those Cowboy fans infatuated with him since he left, right? So I definitely, without looking at it, just first thought, let's do it. Let's get it done. Make it happen, right? But I saw on Bleacher Report, and then I think you posted it or somebody posted it, like him and Mike McCarthy's stats over their coaching career, they're almost identical.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're almost the same coach, right? But if you ask me about each, I would say Sean Payton's more creative, a better leader, a better coach without looking at those numbers, right? And so I trust what I've seen and the way I've seen the teams play. So I definitely would in a heartbeat, if we could get Sean Payton this year, get rid of Mike and bring in Sean Payton. Now, the draft pick, I mean, I think I saw Belichick went for like a fifth or a sixth. Sixth, maybe.
Here's the thing. This is all over the board.
Yeah.
So Belichick went for
But Gruden went for like a first or two firsts or something crazy.
Yes, two firsts.
So I'm not giving up first. I'm not giving up a second.
Okay. What are you willing to give up?
A fifth for sure, right? Fifth, sixth, make it happen. Maybe a fourth, maybe. I don't know. What?
Is four as high as you're going?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going above four, and I don't even know if I'd go to four. Like, I would say confidently a fifth or a sixth. I don't know if I'd go to four.
Okay. Fair. I put this poll up on Twitter. You can follow us at Spurs and Salsa. Dude, 39% said a second or third round pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
30% said nothing. Another Mike McCarthy.
Talking about Payton.
On paper, he's the Mike McCarthy. I'm not a big Sean Payton guy. I'm not. But I agree with you 100%, which is crazy to say on this topic.
Say it again for me.
I agree with you.
It makes me feel good.
I think. Don't make it sound so weird.
One more time, John. One more time. So I can go to sleep.
I knew I shouldn't have let you review beer in this episode. I think Sean McCarthy.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to call him if he's a bum.
Yeah.
Sean Payton is more creative offensively. I like the way he uses Kamara. I think Tony Pollard could fill that role. He likes to use Mark Ingram and Kamara in different roles. That just feels like Zeke and Pollard. He almost got them in the playoffs with a bunch of bums at quarterback. You give him Dak Prescott, see what he can do. It feels like he always produced good receivers. Let's see what he can do with CeeDee Lamb. I'm okay with it, and I'm with you. Nothing over a fourth, and I won't feel 100%. I won't feel great about giving up a fourth.
Yeah.
But nothing higher than that.
Nothing higher than that. Yeah, I'm good. Did you see the Mike Florio article that came out today about the Cowboys in 2019? I think you and I talked about it back then about maybe the Cowboys reached out to Payton through back channels or something like that. But Florio came out with an article today, and he said after 2019 season, that's when the Cowboys went 10-6. They won the wild card game against the Seahawks and then lost to the Rams in the divisional game. Jerry contemplated firing Jason Garrett for Sean Payton. And through kind of back channels, he had conversations with the Saints organization. He knew he would have to, like, you know, if he were to fire Jason, he wasn't going to fire Jason unless he knew for sure the Sean Payton deal was going to happen. Obviously, because of Rooney Rule and things like that, he'd have to interview other coaches. But Mike Florio says that the deal was ready to go. Everything was agreed to, and they were going to fire Jason Garrett for Sean Payton. But then Monday, so that was in January, right? That's when they lost the playoff game. Then Monday the 28th, New Orleans Pelicans forward Anthony Davis announced he's not going to sign another contract with the team and requested a trade. And Gail Benson, who owns the Pelican and the Saints, came out and pulled out of the Cowboys deal because he didn't want to be known as a guy that lost two stars in one season.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, again, that's according to Florio, but he said the deal was done, and the Cowboys were going to fire Garrett, make those interviews, and the terms were already agreed to for Sean Payton, which is super interesting. You know, it makes me feel that the Sean Payton thing is even more real than we may think. You know, they tend to fall in, well, Jerry specifically tends to fall in love with people, right? And they're his guy forever. And I think Sean Payton is that for him. Now, Payton came out today and said, you know, he'll probably, or he may coach again, but he doesn't feel like it's going to be this season. His heart's not in it. So I don't know if that's him talking, and we know how great of a salesman or businessman Jerry is, right? Can Jerry convince him to do that? But if he does not, if we don't make the move on Sean this year, I feel like very confident that if Mike doesn't make it happen next year, he's done, and that's the plan. Sean Payton is the plan next year. So,
and that's why you should just do it now.
Yeah, if they can make it happen, yeah, I'm with you. Sean Payton hasn't been available, right? He's available now if you can make the right picks. So I say get it done.
Okay, so what that tells me is there's a price for Sean Payton.
Yep.
Gail Benson and Jerry Jones have at one point
agreed
on a price.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Jerry Jones doesn't give Mike McCarthy a vote of confidence, and all of a sudden Sean Payton quits the Saints. Now that, and I just Googled that article, you're 100% right. Everything you said was on the money.
I believed you, Mouse.
Thanks. I was reading from the article. I saved it just in case. I don't want to botch that.
It's all over the place, and it was posted. It was posted today, January 25th. So, it does sound like it could happen within a week. The fact, I was already confident that there's going to at least be talks. The fact that they had a deal in place, again, there's a price. There is definitely a price, and Jerry was willing to pay it. 3 years ago, he's probably willing to pay it now. He's probably more pissed now than he was 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, what are your thoughts as a neutral observer?
I selected the second to third round pick in your poll.
Woo.
Not for a second round pick, for a third round pick. I know on paper they look the same, but I think you touched on it. He's just more creative offensively. I think he gets more out of your weapons on offense. I think it's an upgrade. I don't know the logistics of pulling it off, but I think y'all should try to make it happen if you can.
Yep.
I agree. All right. We're all agreed very much on that subject. A far cry from last week.
Yeah.
Besides Josh taking shots at Mouse, this has been a very peaceful podcast.
Yeah. Even when I'm taking shots, I do it peacefully and in a fun, like, banter.
But Mouse said he prefers my way.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, Josh, just to be clear, when you're taking shots, whether from the back or you kiss me after, right?
Well, I mean, if you're not careful, I'll break the other arm.
All right. One more sports topic that came out a couple hours ago, and it feels like it's a hotter topic than I would have guessed, but the MLB announced a Hall of Fame voting today.
Mm.
David Ortiz is the only inductee for 2022.
Big Poppy.
Mouse, I don't know how you feel about this. What are your thoughts on Bonds, Clemens getting snubbed again?
I think it's unfortunate. I know we stand on opposite ends of this for sure. I think the whole steroid era, especially Bonds and Clemens, I think they deserve to be in. I even think, was it Dion posted something today that Bonds had like three MVPs before the steroid era kind of started, or before he was ever accused of using steroids. So I think if you look at his stats outside of, you know, there's definitely going to be an asterisk there, right, because of the steroids, but you got to let that man in. I mean, he's a bad man on the baseball field. So it's a Here's I was going to say it's unfortunate, yeah.
Here's what's so weird. The writers are picking and choosing which steroid era players get in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the dumbest thing. Like, are we pretending David Ortiz didn't do anything?
Wasn't juicing?
Yeah, that's what irks me the most. Don't pussyfoot around it. You're either going to take a hard stance, and they're only taking a hard stance on two guys, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Everyone else, they're kind of looking the other way and letting them in the Hall of Fame. That's just dumb. And they're not only does it feel petty and vindictive, it just makes everybody hate the Hall of Fame. And that's not fair to David Ortiz, right? Because everybody, like what I just did, we're all kind of, you know, crapping on him. It's more about who didn't get in. It's more about how upset we all are. And it takes all the fun out of it. And at the end of the day, sports and things revolving around sports should be fun. Like Pete Rose, you don't have to let him in. He broke the cardinal rule. He was betting on baseball while he was a manager. I know he says he only bet on his own team. I don't believe that. There's no way you're going to tell me a degenerate gambler is not going to pull a pitcher early. Or maybe he bet on the Reds and he's like, you know what? You're going to have to stay in there longer. Even though he should be managing his arm for the whole year. He's like, nah, I really need this game. You're going to have to pitch another inning. You know, there's just little things, little nuances to that. I don't mind him not being in because he was a one-off. If it was called the gambling era where everybody was gambling, then let them all in, including Pete Rose.
Yeah.
But the steroids guys, if it's the steroid era and you're still letting some of them in, I'll say it like this. It was the steroid era. They were all doing it. Yeah. Bonds was the best in the steroid era.
I always talk about Hall of Fame and say, can you tell the story of baseball or whatever sport it is, right? Can you tell the story of baseball without them? And you can't.
And not only that, there are other eras that are tainted. Like Babe Ruth didn't have to play against black people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a whole sector of baseball players that weren't even allowed to play ball. We don't keep them out because they benefited from that. It's weird.
Now, is there another way? This was kind of their last year through the regular procedure, I guess. Is there another way that they can get in?
I don't know.
I saw a tweet about that earlier. There's something that some 16-panel group that meets. I don't watch baseball, so I don't really have enough information. But there was a tweet about that. They have a backdoor way in.
Yeah, I thought I've heard that before, but I don't know the details.
I would imagine they're still away because nobody said – the headlines weren't, wow, they're never getting in.
Yeah.
It was more of, how dumb is it they didn't let them in again?
Actually, I saw the headline that in their last year of eligibility, this was it. Like, I did see a couple of headlines like that.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
They were writing it that way, but conversely, I saw the article about, like, another way in. So through the traditional avenues, maybe that's just what the headlines read, but –
yeah,
there was a lot put into the – yeah, well, again, I'm pretty deep into the baseball knowledge. Not everybody can keep up with what I say.
I can see that.
Yeah.
All right, so – oh, Josh, how do you feel about the snub? Justified, not justified?
I could not care less. Let them in.
Let them all in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, there's something else we need to talk about. Hopefully Josh cares enough to discuss.
Oh, man.
Josh, what are you watching?
I'm glad you asked, John.
caught you by surprise?
No, I didn't know this was coming right now, but I knew it was coming. I was ready. There's a new documentary on Netflix. It's only 3 episodes. It's called The Puppet Master. It has nothing to do with the old Puppet Master movies. It's about a con man. A British con man who said he was part of the MI5, like I think there's spies over there and all that. I only watched it because it was 3 episodes. It starts a little slow, but it gets really good in those 3 episodes. He conned some people for years and for millions of dollars, and it just talks about like all of what he did. And he's just true definition of evil. Like, he ruined lives and is still ruining lives. I would suggest it. Primarily, it's a quick and easy watch. Like I said, the first episode, it's a little slow because they start talking to some people and then they jump to other people and then other people, and you're just realizing they're introducing different people who had been scammed by them. But it was good and it was interesting. That's on Netflix. And outside of that, not much else. I do watch Jeopardy every day. And there is a current contestant who just hit second place all time for a consecutive win streak. Amy Schneider is now 40 games in a row. So that's pretty exciting. But
what's first? What's like the longest?
Ken Jennings. And I think he had like 70 or 90, something crazy. Oh, wow. So still a way to go before she catches him. But it's, you don't rarely get these streaks, and they've had two this season. She just passed a guy that had a 39 game win streak like 3 months ago. So they came back to back to each other, but she just passed him. And I know our old former co-host Charlie, he was a Jeopardy fan. He may be the only other one I know. But yep, if you like a giant win streaks, Amy on Jeopardy.
I'm not a Jeopardy fan, but I was at the doctor's office yesterday.
I was going to tell you, did you see the categories yesterday? Because I'm curious if I know why you're bringing this up.
Come on, you know why I'm bringing this up, and I knew every one of them.
90s R&B and hip-hop was a category.
Oh. Yep.
And as soon as it came on, I almost took a picture and texted it to the group, like, how well do you think it would do in this group? And yeah, I there might have been one I didn't know, but they were all fairly easy.
Even the secretary was pretty impressed with me. I said it out loud.
So Amy, she pretty much ran down that category. She missed one, she's the one who's been winning. Yeah,
I know who Amy is then.
So yep, she cleared out that category.
What is this? Is how we do it?
Yeah, that was, nobody knew that one. That was the one that nobody knew, and I was like, that was so easy.
All right.
But that's it. I haven't really watched anything crazy, just football.
Mouse, what are you watching?
And so I finally finished up Friday Night Lights, the TV show, on Netflix. Man, I'm obviously a huge football fan in Texas, right? So it's a little bit different for me, I think, or for us, right? But the middle seasons, I thought were okay, but that last season and in the first season, probably half of second season, they were great. That last season was amazing. So I loved it, and that came on y'all's recommendation.
It's really good. It's one of the best like scripted dramas ever.
Yeah, I would say that too.
And what was funny is I went from that to watching Mayor of Kingstown, which is on Paramount Plus. It's their new drama. I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
Action drama with
Coach Taylor, right?
Yeah. So we were like, me and my wife were like, this kind of feels funny. Like we're still expecting Coach Taylor, but he's playing a completely different role. But I cannot recommend Mayor of Kingstown enough. If you watch Yellowstone, you've seen the previews for it a ton. But that show from like episode one to the last episode of the season was great. It was like action packed. It's up there with Yellowstone for me. Like the way Yellowstone started off and how much I loved it, it's right up there with it. So you got to check that out.
Basically, the only reason I haven't watched it is because Yellowstone beat us over the head with the previews.
My dad during Yellowstone, like maybe a couple of weeks back or a month back, was like, "Have you seen the commercial for that dumb show they keep showing?" He was like, "I'm not gonna watch it because they show me the commercial so much." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, you're showing Paramount Plus. Don't watch it." But anyway, I know what y'all are talking about, but it's worth it. Definitely watch that movie. It's crazy. I mean, that show is crazy.
When you because you were talking about how Coach Taylor's on that show,
yeah.
Do you get attached to a character? Because the movie Game Night with Jason Bateman, he's in it, and he's kind of a scumbag in that movie.
And you know, like, I've seen that movie, and I can't picture him in it.
He's the brother. He's the one who, like, he's in with bad people, and he's the reason that things are going on. And it's kind of similar to the Breaking Bad, the one who shot the kid, but he was Landry. Like, yep. I could go from loving a character to, like, man, I don't know how to feel now that you're playing somebody I shouldn't like.
I always like Landry. Even in Breaking Bad.
He was such. He was the worst in Brady. Like I bet you what's his name was the worst, Walter White. But that kid was terrible.
Yeah, for sure.
He did what needed to be done.
Wow. He killed a kid.
Yeah, wow.
He killed a witness.
He killed a kid. That kid. This is our last.
Thank y'all for listening. This is the last person's also ever. We're officially like, off.
It's like Rip on Yellowstone. He does what needs to be done.
He doesn't kill kids.
I mean, he's not. Hold on. Pause. Mouse. He's not particularly nice to kids either.
Yeah, he might just drop them off, but you know, at least they're breathing when he leaves them.
But that kid didn't do anything wrong. This other one witnessed something. Anyways, we're going off the rails. Yeah. To answer your question, Josh, yes, I get attached to characters.
Me too.
I probably give him the benefit of the doubt because he's Landry, and Coach Taylor could do no wrong. So my kids are obsessed with Godzilla, and he's in one of the newer Godzilla movies, or in all of them. But he plays a leadership role, so I was like, okay, we're going to get through this. Coach Taylor is involved. I'm trying to think of other characters. Going back to Breaking Bad, I kept seeing the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh.
It took me a long time to take him serious. Like, he could kill somebody.
I was going to say, by the end of the show, you hated him, so he did his job.
That's Malcolm's dad. Yeah, there's times like that. Like, I don't think Michael J. Fox could be a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know that I could take that serious if I saw it. But then, like, you have Robin Williams playing some characters in 1 Hour Photo and Insomnia. Like, sometimes comedians can pull it off.
Yeah. What about you, Mouse? You attach yourself
I'm definitely with you. Like, I'll get attached to that character, and it feels just funny seeing him play something else, for sure. But I can't think – nothing comes to mind.
I always cheer for, like – so if I'm a fan of a character, I always cheer when they get another job. I'm like, oh, heck yeah, he got a new show, you know, like Coach Taylor or anybody else that I really like. Like, if anybody from Parks and Rec gets a new job, I'm like, oh, good for them. Chris Pratt, I really like.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, sure, I root for them.
But not the witness kid. Don't root for him.
I mean, it sucks, but I'm okay. My problem with Breaking Bad is we were supposed to pretend Walter White was decent.
According to the creator, he didn't want he wanted you to go from like feeling bad and liking him to hating him. That was his.
I never felt bad or liked him. I guess that's my thing.
I guess in the beginning I did. Like,
I mean, he had cancer, but I guess they didn't make him likable. And then he did a lot of horrible things to people. But we were supposed to pretend. Not we were supposed to pretend. I didn't like that him as a character tried to play toe the line of, I'm going to kill a bunch of people, but I'm still a decent person. I like that Landry said, hey, this is the life we laid. The kid saw something, kill him.
Good night, sweet prince.
Mm-hmm. It's like Godfather. Have you all seen Godfather?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Fredo had to go, bro. I know it's his brother, but.
But how old was Fredo?
It's the age.
That was his brother, though.
I understand killing a brother more than killing a kid.
What about Lil Puppet?
Don't look at me.
Yeah, he had to go too. Or, dang it, I just had one, so you asked me that. Anyways, we're going to go off it. Yeah, I mean, that's the life. Oh, Tony Soprano with Christopher.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be done.
Spoiler.
Yeah, wow.
Or Ozark. Have y'all watched Ozark?
No, I haven't. I don't watch it, but I think I'm going to start it again. I tried watching it and I couldn't get hooked.
All right, I guess we'll jump into mine. I started.
Oh, wow. Just cut me off.
Oh, again. No, I'm sorry. You have any?
I got one in and John's already. Your time's up, buddy.
Yeah, hey, you got two. You got two coaches.
Oh, yeah. No, I really don't have any.
Does he have a third show we don't know about?
No, I do have a. Something else. Well, SEAL Team finished up on Paramount Plus, which I think it's over for good, but I'm not sure. But something else. I know y'all heard me talk about Man in the Arena, the Tom Brady ESPN Plus documentary, you know, 10 parts, every part talked about a Super Bowl season. Well, I'm kind of bummed because they've been releasing episodes every Tuesday, And last Tuesday, the 10th and final episode was supposed to come out, which was him, his Super Bowl run with Tampa last year and the winning, and winning it all. And it didn't come out. So I got kind of pissed. I'm like, hey, what the heck's happening? Started looking on Twitter. And I guess the one of the directors or creator, someone affiliated with the show said it's not coming out to the spring or summer of 2022, which is weird. So I think he wanted to see how this season played out to see how to kind of end that episode. Like, was there going to be another Super Bowl run he was going to talk about, or is 10 going to be it? And I don't know.
Okay.
It's not out. So if you're looking for it, it's not out. And just randomly, I got to the thought that Tom Brady's done this year because of that.
He had some quotes. Go for it, Josh.
I was going to say, I saw a lot of conversation about the Tuck Rule game. Did he admit it was a fumble? Or did he kind of toe the line?
No, I don't think he did. I don't remember him saying, I didn't get. That was one of the earlier episodes, but no, I don't remember him saying or admitting that it was a fumble at all.
Oh, I just saw it trending on Twitter recently. I didn't know it was an old episode.
Were they saying he did say that?
That's what I thought, that they were talking about, like, he finally admitted it, that game against Oakland, but I didn't see anything official. It just made it seem like, hey, that, you want to see what Tom Brady has to say. Did he finally admit it? Kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
But that's it.
All right. So, like I said earlier, I am watching Ozark, the last season, season 4. They split it up into two halves, kind of like Mad Men did back in the day. So season 4 has 7 episodes that just dropped last week. I think I'm the only person in America that didn't watch all 7 this weekend. I've watched 4, so I'm almost done. Another great season. Mouse, you'll love the series. It's a quick watch. When you watch it and you finish season 3, we'll have the same conversation we just did about Justify Killing.
Was it a kid?
Put that in the back of your mind. It's a more tragic story than just some random kid in the desert. But when you do watch it and you finish season 3, you'll know exactly what we're talking about, and we'll pick this topic up again. I'm also watching Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus. It's okay. It's not as good as Mandalorian, but it catches my attention for 45 minutes a week. It's always cool to see Star Wars on TV, and you know, the fact that they put so much money into a TV show like this. But the story's all right. It's a space mobster show, I guess, best way to put it. I watched something on Showtime called The Kings, which both of you would love. It's about the 4 kings of boxing back in the 80s. Sugar Ray Leonard, Thomas Hearns, Marvin Hagler, and Roberto Duran.
Mm.
It's 3 or 4 episodes. It's amazing. It's such a good watch. Mouse, I know you have Showtime.
Yep.
Give it a watch. It talks about their rise and their upbringing, and kind of how they're seen in the media. It also talks a lot about where the world was and where the country was at that point, and how politics played a role in their careers and just things going. You know, Roberto Duran's a Panamanian. Things that were going on between America and Panama at that point. The way their careers played out, why they fought each other when they did, why they didn't, things like that. It's really good.
That sounds good.
I really enjoyed that. It's called The Kings. And then, because this podcast has become a JFK conspiracy show, I went and watched on Hulu, it's called 11-22-63. It's a Stephen King novel turned into a TV series. It came out like 4 or 5 years ago.
I think it was a little longer than that, because I watched it right when it first came out, and it's been a while.
And, so to give you the premise, especially Mouse, this guy in 2016, he finds a time machine. But when you walk through it, it's like a tunnel. It only takes you back to like October of 1960. So every time you walk through it, it takes you to the same day. And whenever you come back, you come back to present time. Well, this guy who finds it first, he does all this research and he decides, if I can go to this time frame and make the world a better place, I'm going to stop the JFK assassination. Well, he can't do it. He's an older man. He just can't do it. He recruits someone to do it for him, a young man. And the show is about this guy that goes back in time from 2016. He lives his life for 3 years, gearing up to stop the assassination.
Huh. That sounds super interesting yet unique.
And I know I watched it when it first came out. I just didn't remember what happened. And then all of our talk the last few weeks about JFK, I was like, you know what? I'm going to rewatch that.
Down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good show.
Yeah. For those, it's Stephen King novel. J.J. Abrams produced the show, starring James Franco before he got in trouble. So, yeah, it's really good. I recommend it. It's also cool to see Texas back then. I'm assuming they did their research and it's pretty accurate. But yeah, I like that show a lot. And I think that's all I'm watching. I'm stuck on a few sitcoms that I've talked about already, but The Wonder Years, Abbott Elementary, How I Met Your Father. Those are just weekly occurrences that are still holding strong with me.
Hey, JD, did your wife, is she watching Sex and the City, the new one?
She is. She doesn't, I don't think she likes it.
Yeah.
She's going to
yeah.
finish it, but she's not glued to her TV or anything.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, I'm kind of watching that with my wife, and she watches it every week, and she's not, it seems like that's kind of the common thought on it is just not that good.
Well, they're missing Samantha.
Yeah, they are. How do you know that, Jeff?
I honestly, I was hoping that was her name. I know they're missing the blonde one.
They're all blonde, aren't they?
Well,
no.
There's the redhead and a brunette, and then the main one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've never seen an episode, but I just knew she wasn't on, and people really liked her from the original run.
Well, if you're missing her, she's on How I Met Your Father.
Kim Cattrall, right? That's her name.
Yes.
Is she the mother telling the story? Is she, what's his name?
Yes, she's Bob Saget.
That's cool.
She looks great. Hilary Duff plays a younger her, and they did a good job casting. She looks like an older Hilary Duff. But, my wife's watching it. Again, she's not super thrilled with it. But she's following along enough. She binge watched Sex and the City to get ready for this, so I think she's a little disappointed to put in the effort for the
for the payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is what it is. Before we go, we finally got our hands on the Rojo beer. San Antonio Brewery, East La Street. Rojo beer is still at HEB. They must have got new shipments because Mouse found it at his HEB, and I found it very easily at mine as well. When we started this podcast, you probably heard us opening beers. For you longtime listeners, you knew that meant we're probably going to be reviewing a beer. We didn't get Josh one in time. I'm always curious what Josh thinks because he's not a beer drinker, but he appreciates good beer. But we didn't get it to him in time. He kind of just – we don't even ask him to come on anymore, but the Niners keep winning, and he just keeps jumping on these calls.
I see the link pop up, and if I'm not asleep yet
– he's on.
He's like, oh, we're talking about this. But I'm curious, Mouse, what did you think of it?
Well, you know, everybody knows I'm not a big craft beer drinker. I mean, if I'm going and buying beer for myself, it's a nice Miller Lite or Bud Light. Probably a Miller Lite most of the time. So I'm always kind of like shy about trying new stuff and, you know, what am I going to think? How am I going to like it? And I didn't know. I asked Big Joe on text a couple of days ago, like, what type of beer is it? Right. Not that I would know if he said IPA or pale. Like I it wouldn't mean anything to me, but I was just wondering. And he told me it's a Berliner, which is, I looked it up, kind of a sour beer. And I like it a lot. It's a super unique flavor. I can't say I've ever had a beer that tastes like this, but it's definitely something I could like drink comfortably. It goes down smooth. It's good. I was really impressed by it.
I was curious because this is a very, very different kind of beer. It does taste a lot like a soda.
Yeah. My question was, how much like Big Red does it taste?
If you just picture, just think Big Red with alcohol. It's not nearly as sweet, but it is a sweet beer. It doesn't. You couldn't trick someone into thinking it's Big Red.
Yeah.
No, but I've had root beers that have alcohol in it, and it's those are fairly like they taste like root beer. Okay.
No, this you couldn't trick someone into thinking it's Big Red. The way I would describe it is a sweeter Michelada. It tastes a little like a Michelada, but with a sweet aftertaste.
So but I think there's like a sour taste to it too.
To a degree, there is. Yeah, it's still a sour beer, but
yeah, I guess the sweetness comes from the Big Red, right?
Yeah. I'm not gonna sit here and say that I could drink a whole six pack while watching a game. It's very much a one or two beers, kind of like a soda, right? Unless you're Forrest Gump or Josh, you can't just sit there and chug a whole case of soda.
Oh, wait, I could.
Six pack?
No, mine came in a four pack.
Okay, I was like, hey, I got gyps because I only got four.
Were there two extra slots for beer in there?
the cashier took it. He taxed your ass. So I do enjoy it. Again, full disclosure, I'm not a guy that likes sweetness with my booze. But this is definitely a beer I could drink, you know, one or two after work. Or honestly, I could see myself drinking this with a barbacoa taco.
Maybe. Yeah. You know how Sunday morning?
People, yeah, you know how some people, they're hungover, they do the hair of the dog? They just start drinking right away on Sunday? If that's something that you're, if you catch yourself in that situation, this is a real good beer to pair up with your taco.
And there's so much hype around it. If you see it, if you're at HEB and you see it, they're a local company, just grab it, give it a shot, you're going to like it.
Yeah, I agree completely. Again, HEB seems to have gotten a new shipment because Mouse and myself live about as far away from each other as we possibly can.
That's
true. San Antonio, but we both found it very easily. It was just, matter of fact, my HEB had it in the aisle, not with the rest of the beers, but kind of prominent on its own. So I would definitely check to see if it's at your HEB as well. We will tag them as long as the brewery has an Instagram account. We will tag them in our Instagram post of the beer can. Go to our Instagram for anything that we've reviewed, food, beer, all kinds of stuff on there. It's at Spurs and Salsa. Also, go on our Facebook page. It's also Spurs and Salsa fan page. Mouse got a nice note from one of our listeners. He said he's a longtime listener. He agreed 100% with Mouse last week.
When you said smart. Mouse, did you put like in air quotes like Mouse? Like we know it was his alternate page. Right?
I would have done air quotes with a listener.
Yeah, Josh.
Yeah, sorry. I was just trying to make fun of Mouse again.
Just a departing shot on the way out.
Yeah, we're about to wrap up, and I don't know if I'm here next week. So
you'll have to be here at least one more week because if they lose.
Yeah, we need your thoughts.
We need your thoughts. If they win, obviously, you're going to be here through the remainder of football season. So go ahead and clear your calendar. Think of new ways to take jabs at Mouse.
Yeah.
But yeah, follow us on all social media pages. I found a new trick on how to promote the podcast. I don't want to give it away in case I don't perfect it. But it's not – most other podcasts do this, and I'm going to learn how to do the same thing, which is clip little pieces. Like, let's say Sean Payton gets hired or the Cowboys start interviewing Dan Quinn. We can clip the piece where we're talking about that and put it up on social media.
Just don't clip any pieces where Josh is taking a shot at me because I might have to.
That's half this episode.
Out of context, it might make me sound mean.
Yeah.
Out of context. There's no other context.
Yeah,
I know.
But yeah, subscribe to their podcast. We're on every major. Obviously, you're listening to us somewhere, so make sure you subscribe. Give us a good review. Go get you some Rojo beer, especially on Sunday morning. You can now buy beer at 10 a.m., right? On Sundays?
Something like that.
Yeah. So there's no excuses now. Maybe we'll get Josh one.
Let's do it.
All right, next week we'll either have a shirtless Josh still celebrating, planning a Super Bowl party, or we'll talk about what went wrong. We'll hopefully we'll know more about the NBA All-Star format, if the Spurs are getting in, and they did win tonight against the Rockets. There you go. Maybe that's the start of a whole win streak, and we'll be talking about a push for the playoffs before the rodeo road trip. But until then, we'll see you next week. Go Spurs, go!